Michelle.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Todd.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
It's late August, sunny and hot, nearly 30 degrees. And from the moment I first meet Michelle Corfield at Bowen Park, I realize I've made a horrible decision.
It's so warm out today.
I know.
Oh my gosh. We just got a heat pump at our house.
Yeah.
So, which is great, but then you forget, like, how warm it is outside.
Yes.
And so I stepped out in this, like, fleece, and I'm like, I'm an idiot.
Well, I'm wearing a jacket. So.
We find the only cool spot around, a bench at the back of the building. And, as with the other candidates, we start with her parents.
My dad was a tugboat captain, and he was third or fourth generation working on the tugs. And my mom is a residential school survivor, and when she turned 18, moved from Ucluelet to Nanaimo to get away from the patriarchal Indian Act is what I would classify it as.
Were they living in Ucluelet at the time?
My mom was, yes.
Right.
And then she moved here and met my dad. And then once she married my dad, she lost her status. So she's one of those women that was directly impacted, like myself, by the patriarchal Indian Act.
How did they meet? Do you know that story?
I think they met at the Kinsmen, like a dance. Yeah, the Kinsmen is a social club here in Nanaimo. Well, my parents married, and at that time they moved to Vancouver Avenue here in Nanaimo. And then once I was born, they moved to the farm. So my grandparents had a sheep farm. And so that's where I was raised till I was five, until I had to go to school. And then we were brought into town to so I could go to school.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, okay. I have one sister.
Older, younger?
Younger.
How far along before your sister came?
My sister came. She's 4 years younger than me.
What's her name?
Jackie.
And does she still live in town?
No, she lives up in Gold River.
Oh, okay. Do you have a relationship with her still?
Oh, yeah. She's here every weekend, and we see each other quite a bit.
What kind of kid were you?
Being raised on a farm, you learn to get up early and chuck hay and feed sheep, and your life is a little bit different, right? You're growing vegetables and picking fruit, and those are the normal things. In town, I would say I was a little bit of an entrepreneur. I think I started my first lemonade stand at about six so we could get candy. And then later they were building some houses around where we live. So we started selling lemonade quite a bit there. And then I started doing papers. And I think I was about 8 years old when I started delivering papers.
Wow, that's young for those.
Yeah, it is. And I got my first paid job other than babysitting when I was about 13. So when it was legal for me to go to work.
And where did you go to school?
I went to school at Harewood Elementary, John Barsby, and then NDSS. High school was pretty difficult. My mom and dad separated and got divorced. It was not good, right? It's never good when your dad's cheating and on your mom and you don't understand why. But I look it back and I think they were too... My mom, like, obviously has had a really rough upbringing, and my dad had a very privileged upbringing. My dad went to private school, and so things were different for them, and I can see what happened now. So my mom was raising us on welfare, so I was working all throughout high school, just trying to make sure that we had enough in the way of food and clothes and the things that you don't normally think about you're buying yourself when you're mom can't really afford to buy you anything.
How old were you when this was happening?
My parents, I believe, separated when I was 12. So yeah, from 12 on is when my mom raised us on welfare. I was working two jobs, full-time both, and trying to go to school. I worked at Dairy Queen full-time during the day, and then I worked in a restaurant at night serving.
You worked at Dairy Queen full-time during the day while you went to high school?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Because, well, when you go to senior high, I took two classes in the morning, and then I worked immediately after that for lunch rush.
And then you went to school?
Yeah.
And then you went to the restaurant?
Yeah. Right after Dairy Queen, I went to the restaurant. And I got home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I would go to school.
How long did that go on for?
Quite a long time.
When you were growing up, did you have much contact with or knowledge of your First Nations heritage?
I did, in the sense when my parents were together, we always went home for different seasonal activities. So we always went and we went fishing, we went clam digging, we went and picked crabs, we went berry picking. All of those things happened, and I would attend a lot of potlatches. So I was connected in that sense. And I think back then it was a much different cultural experience. It was just coming out of being illegal to potlatch, and people were still finding their way.
Illegal to potlatch?
Yeah, it was illegal for a long time. The government had taken all of the anything that was of cultural significance. So it was a very disturbing time. So as people got out of that and realized that they weren't going to go to jail for doing this anymore, it still had that sense of apprehension. My dad was back in Prince Edward Island, and my mom was just existing, I would say. And then I went right into college, anthropology, psychology, sociology, all the ologies. Got them all.
Did you want to go into those as a profession?
No, there wasn't really a clear path for me then. I went back after the college became a university and established a First Nations program, and that's where I found my fit.
And during this time, your father had moved to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And did you have why the East Coast?
I have no idea. Never asked.
And did you have much of a relationship with him?
Just talked to him. My relationship was more with my grandparents. But he did come home for my graduation.
And was that a welcome visit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was good. It was exciting to see, because I was the first person on my mom's side to actually graduate. So that was a big deal.
In time, Michelle Corfield met a fellow through work and had her first son, Kyle, in 1993.
I just always worked, and so I worked right to the day he was born, and then he was born, and then my sister and mom and everybody helped me. My dad helped me. He was back home by that time. So everybody pitched in so we could raise this child.
11 months later, she had a second son, and at 1 month old, he died suddenly due to SIDS.
I will never forget the day, but it is probably the worst feeling you could ever have as a human to see your child die. Right? Getting through that intact was probably the most difficult thing I've done. And that was a pretty dark period. Yeah, you're not getting any more out of me on that one.
Fair enough.
This happens with most couples. After they lose a child, they separate, and that happened. And Kyle and I were on our own for a while and really actually had a lot of fun. And then I met Tony and had a relationship with him. And that lasted 23 years.
And still with him?
No. He ends up being my daughter's dad at the end of the day. So out of that relationship, I got my daughter, Claire.
Gotcha. And how old is she?
She is 20. But Kyle was a great experience, as Kyle, he really wanted to ride race motorbikes, but I couldn't find motorbike racings for a five-year-old, so we put him into BMX. And lo and behold, that kid could ride a bike.
What does he do now?
Well, my son actually's just survived his bowel burst. Oh. So I've just spent 40 days in the hospital with him.
Is a bowel burst exactly what it sounds like?
It's exactly what it sounds like.
What causes that?
He had acute ulcerative colitis, and they couldn't get it under control and contained through antibiotics. And unfortunately, when you have sickness like that, your skin and your bowels and your intestines become very thin, and that's how it perforated. We're still not out of the woods. He still could... We're not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And your daughter, where does she live?
She lives here, yeah. And with me, and she's in her second year of university. And
what's she studying?
Well, I think she's going to go and be an RN, but we have to get there first. So yeah. At one point in my life, I was the vice president of the Nuchalna Tribal Council, so I was responsible for every aspect of implement, just every aspect of running a an Aboriginal government, which is like running a provincial, municipal, and federal government all in one. And from there, I became a consultant, and I worked primarily for the federal and provincial government and First Nations governments for over 10 years. And so Ron Cantillon always said, Michelle, you should run. So I'd be in Costco. Michelle, you should run.
Who is Ron?
Ron was an old MLA of Nanaimo. And so I'm like, yeah, no, not yet. And in the back of my mind, I've always believed through treaty negotiations and things that I wanted to be a senator. That actually was what I thought I wanted to be. And then so different people have asked me throughout my life, and I would say, no, I'm not ready. No, I don't like Ottawa. No, I don't like this. And I would have an excuse. And then I was in Hawaii this past winter for a conference, and the NDP phoned and asked me if I'd consider running. And I went, And I asked a bunch of questions. And I'm like, okay, well, if they... Now the NDP, I've got the Liberals and the NDP asking. This is interesting. I'm at another event. I think I was at Tony Harris's kickoff campaign, and everyone's like, Michelle, are you going to run? And I'm like, no. And then I went home and I thought about it. And I went, you know what? It is time.
And so what happens? Do you call and say, pick, I'm ready, let's go to the nomination? Do they call you?
No, you have to go through a whole process to get greenlit.
Is it like, I always imagine being the process of being greenlit as like an FBI top secret kind of, really?
Oh yeah,
like they interview your family and friends and all that stuff?
They do a deep dive, yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Do they look at like all your past tweets and...
Yes, and of course I had no social media presence, so...
That's probably in your favor.
So they're like, you don't even exist.
Is that nerve-wracking?
It was absolutely nerve-wracking. I have to say, being a candidate in the by-election as a Liberal was a little challenging at times. We were faced with a lot of different obstacles.
But do you think that's just because you're the incumbent party? You know, like if the Conservatives were in power and you were running for the Conservatives, yeah. Would you not face the same sort of...
I think so. Right? I do think so. But we had Chinook decisions, and there was a lot of decisions that were made when I was running. So a lot of decisions. So it was still good. I would get a call from a minister or somebody just about every week, if not every couple days, like, how are you doing? Checking in. It was an amazing experience.
What was the first time you heard from the Prime Minister?
I was at the City Hall. I was having a meeting with Leonard because I was the chair of the port at that time, or just coming out of it, obviously. And I said to Leonard, I actually have to, can I have a private room? They had told me that the Prime Minister would be calling.
And then is it someone that says, hold for the Prime Minister, and he comes on, or was he just there?
Yeah, it's hold for the Prime Minister.
Yeah. How long was that discussion?
I think it was about five to 10 minutes.
And what does he say?
Like, congratulations, we're excited to have you, I've read everything that you've done. Like,
do you mean he read your books? Or
yeah, he is one of the people that screened you. Like, there's a team, but yeah, he gets all your information. So he's briefed, he knew everything about me, and it was a good call.
What surprised you about the process of running, about door knocking and all that? What was the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise is how much time it takes, right? And how much you're really on. And, you know, when you leave the house, you better have brushed your hair, because you never know who's going to call or who's going to show up. And so you've got to be prepared. You got to be ready. You got to know your stuff. The electorate is educated. They know, and they want you to know. So that was really...
Are they, though? Like, I'm in these Facebook groups sometimes, and I see people share these memes. And part of the reason I wanted to do this whole podcast series was that it strikes me that people are just so focused on the divisive politics, and they don't get to know the person. So, like, can I push back gently on that? Are they educated?
Well, the ones I've talked to, yes. Like, they know their issues, right? So when I ask what keeps you up at night, what's really bothering you, they know... I don't know about the people on social media. I have Facebook, and everybody that's on my Facebook site is either my family or a friend. I learned something. I went to listen to Michelle Obama once, and what she said about Facebook is don't read the comments. So I take that very seriously. I don't look at the comments.
Liberals placed fourth in the by-election, is that right?
Yeah.
Does that frustrate you?
No.
Going in?
No. You know what? That was a by-election. And it was a by-election where they're testing the government, right? If they're mad at the prime minister, they're not voting Liberal. Or they're not showing up. So, no, I don't take any of that personally. And I'm going in like everybody else. I'm going in it to win it.
If you do win the riding, how long do you want the job for?
Well, 8 years will take me to 58. And then I think I better think about things differently.
And then maybe a Senate appointment.
Well, maybe. That really would be the... But then you're working for another 20 years till you're 75.
Right.
And then you get to claim that pension.
Right. And if you don't win this time around, what happens to Michelle Corfield?
Michelle carries on, and I think that's the best part, right? I've done... My career is solid. I've done some really cool things. I work at some really interesting schools. I get to do pretty much work in the fields that I like, and I think that's important. So Michelle will be okay.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate the time.
Okay.
Good. No problem. Good luck.
Yeah.
Michelle Corfield is running as the Liberal candidate in Nanaimo Ladysmith. Next time on The Candidates, you'll hear from representatives from the two smaller parties in the election, and some thoughts to wrap up.